If you're ready, I will, when the particular subject of this press conference is over, I will, at the close of it, have an announcement on a different subject to make that I think you're interested in also. But right now, in case you think I'm simply trying to intimidate you by outnumbering you here, I would like to introduce that here on the platform we have from the League of California Cities, Don Wiley, the mayor of Woodland, and Helen Putnam, who is the mayor of Petaluma, Mary Henderson, the vice mayor of Redwood City, and Don Benninghoven, executive director. And from the County Supervisors Association of California, CSAC, we have Gerald Day, who is the supervisor of San Mateo County and the first vice president of CSAC, Donald Peterson, who is the supervisor from Humboldt County and a member of the CSAC Executive Committee and chairman of the Modernization Committee, Joash Paul, who is supervisor of Stanislaus County and chairman of the CSAC Employee Relations Committee, Ralph Diedrich, supervisor of Orange County, Richard Watson, the executive director of the California Taxpayers Association, and Bob Brown, the executive director, California State Chamber of Commerce, Jim Roten, the employer and employee relations specialist, and we have here, as you've all recognized, of course, Senator Randy Collier is here with me. The statement that I have to make, we'll follow then with a little presentation of explanation and then a statement from the senator and take your questions. My statement is there's an obvious need for a comprehensive overhaul of the state law governing local public service employee relations. Strikes and strike threats by public employees, continuing disputes between public employees and public agencies, and the fact that the public interest can be shunted to the side underscored the need for a new law. Today, I'm happy to announce that Senator Collier will introduce legislation that will provide a reasonable and fair process for solving disputes between local public employees and their public employers. And I emphasize that word fair, because it not only protects the rights of public employees and their employers, but the general public as well. The bill will create the Public Employee Relations Board, which will have the responsibility of protecting the rights of all under the law. At the present time, there is no agency in California to ensure the rights of public employee organizations and public agencies concerning the terms and conditions of employment. The board will have this function, and the bill prohibits strikes by public employees. But it will put an end to unreasonable actions taken by local public agencies in denying public servants the right to organize and to be recognized in employee relations. I think the time has come when it's necessary for everyone to recognize the inherent difference between public and private employment. The status of public employees is not comparable to private employees, either in fact or in law. Basic differences between the two groups arise from the fact that the public employer was established for the benefit of all the people. Its authority derives not from the profit motive in private enterprise, but from the people themselves. And the Collier bill makes these distinctions and at the same time will bring stability to employee-employer relations in our cities and counties. Now, before the questions, Roger Magyar, will you open the envelope, please? Here are just a few things. It'll be Senate Bill 2133. Authored by Randall Collier, covers local public employees except school district and transit district employees and designated management, supervisory, or confidential employees. Now, the reason for leaving out school and transit district employees and transit, they're taken care of by present law, and we have been meeting with the school boards associations, and they themselves are pursuing, because of differences between that sector of the public employees and regular public or other public employees, they have legislation that they themselves are working on to cover their particular problem. It creates a Public Employment Relations Board to administer the act, to assist in resolving procedural disputes or eliminating unfair practices, and to ensure all parties, employers and employees and the public, they receive their rights under the law. It specifies management responsibilities, which must be assumed and administered by elected representatives. It outlines the issues that are subject to negotiations. It guarantees employees the right to be represented by negotiating units, but it does not require union membership. It requires employers to recognize and negotiate with certified employee units, and it prohibits employer lockouts as well as employee strikes. It provides for mediation and fact-finding to resolve impasses and it allows continuation of civil service and merit advancement to prevent management or a union spoils system. Now, that is a brief rundown of what was in the opening statement, what will be in the legislation, and now I'd like to present the author of the bill, Senator Randy Collier.
Thank you, Governor, and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. I want to say ever since Calvin Coolidge called out the militia to stop the strike between the policemen and the firemen, it's been brought to my notice, maybe that's too long ago for some of you, but I've long felt that for the public interest, that the policemen and the firemen and other public employees did not have the right of strike. The introduction of the Collective Negotiations Act for Public Employment is a proposed response to those in local government who have requested a procedure be established to permit the employees an organized approach to collective negotiations. This matter has been before the legislature ever since I have been here. In recent years, it has come to the forefront, and this is an attempt to carry it on and see if we can't start out by bringing the local employees of cities and the counties and some districts into a system of negotiation. The word negotiations, I believe, is important to understand because public employees serve society and receive their pay through the power of taxation, not through the private business approach of supply and demand. Because the power to tax is absolute, it is necessary that the people's elected representatives who are responsible for taxation not delegate the power to tax to an arbitration board, but stand accountable for tax impacts. As with any legislation which may be offered in the area of collective bargaining, the bill does not necessarily satisfy all the interested parties, but I believe does provide for an organized approach to solve the major issue and will relieve the local taxpayer of a vexing problem that's confronted them for years.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the reason for the presence of all these people is because we have been working with all of these who are present here on this for quite some time, and to find an answer to the problem that has been coming to be more of a problem just in recent months and even the last few years. So all of us have been working together on this, and your questions can be directed to any one of us here, whatever questions you may have.
Governor, why are teachers, transit employees, and state workers not included in the legislation?
Well, first, it was a very brief explanation there. Transit employees are covered by existing law. The teachers, as I said before, we have been meeting, just as we have met with these groups, we have been meeting with the School Boards Association, with educators, on this subject. And there are very definite differences, particular differences that would make trying to put them all into one bill extremely complicated. So they are working with Senator Rada on a piece of legislation in the hopes of coming up with something that will achieve the same ends that we have, we think, are achieved in this. The state employees, of course, here we have a more complex problem and one that also is covered by our state constitution. We have presently a state personnel board that is in existence constitutionally. We have the relationship with the various individual departments. We don't have the same centralized control as we do at the local level. And here again, to try to put the state problems into this a bill of this kind, it would become too complicated and too complex. I don't think it would be good legislation. Now, we have been meeting and working with the employees' organizations here in the state to eliminate problems they have or where they believe there has been inability to express grievances or get a fair hearing on them. And I think we've made great strides in that.
There seems to be a complete absence of employee groups in this group that's here. Did they have any participation in drafting this legislation?
Well, the people who are here in the platform and who've been dealing with them have certainly labor's position is well known on this, and they have been dealing with them and know the problems. We also know that those groups have, or numbers of them, have taken the position, some of their organizations, that they do believe in the right to strike. And there is a basic difference there.
Chairman, the Senate Majority Leader and the Speaker of the Assembly are firmly behind the concept of collective bargaining, as opposed to what Senator Collier called the collective negotiation procedure of this bill. Given those political facts, do you think this bill is really going anywhere this year?
I certainly do, and I hope that it goes someplace, because I think it is a reasoned and responsible bill to resolve a problem that is extremely costly to the people of this state, the people of our various local communities.
It provides for mediation and fact-finding, but no arbitration. Couldn't this really perpetuate what you have now?
Well, no, this comes down to what I've said before about arbitration. I don't believe that the elected representatives of the people can turn to some other appointed individual, and that individual then can make a decision that is the basic responsibility of the elected representatives. Our source of power, our employers, are the people. And the only way that I could see the arbitration of the ultimate kind could ever be legal or could be morally right, where public employees are concerned, is if you turn to the people themselves for referendum. They are the ultimate authority. I don't think that any one of us who are elected to the people have a right to designate our responsibility to someone who is not beholden to the voters. The individual who could make that arbitration decision could very, you would be giving into his or her hands literally the right to raise taxes.
So would your elected local officials still have the final say
they must. Yes, they have to. That's what they were elected for. The governor, approved by the legislature. How long is the term? 5 years.
The state court did not impose any kind of settlement on the local agency. Is that right? So it has no real authority other than as a persuasive body.
Somebody want to explain that to hear? Because I have not seen the details of the legislation that's written as yet. It's in the Legislative Council's office.
Just in response to that question, that the board will resolve disputes among unions, jurisdictional disputes on unit determination. They also will have the authority to conduct secret elections. They will have the authority to rule on unfair labor practices. But to impose themselves on a local decision on salaries or working conditions, they do not have that authority. They cannot go in on their own motion. Have to come in on the request of one of the parties.
Specifically prohibit strikes by fellow employees, or just leave it as it is now?
No, it specifically prohibits strikes. Right now, we think the strikes are illegal, but it's by case law. It's by court decisions. This now will actually make it law that they are prohibited.
Will the passage of this bill make it easier for local government or the state to crack down on strikers? Will it mean that it's much more dangerous for public employees to go out on strike?
No, quite the contrary. And we have a pretty classic example. A Los Angeles County happens to have a rather sophisticated procedure for employee and employer relations right now that is very similar to this bill. They support this because this bill will strengthen and make their system even better. But we see the example. They have come to the verge of a strike in Los Angeles County, and because they have a procedure similar to this, there is no strike. But by contrast, in San Francisco, where there is no such thing, we had the strike, and we had all the resultant troubles from it.
One other question. You said that it provides, it outlaws a lockout by the part of the employer. Does this affect the provision where, is there a provision that if there is a strike,
well, now this is state law. I'll have to ask again here what the provision is. There is no lockout. But of course, in the ultimate, if you come to an outright impasse where workers refuse to come to work and there is no further procedure, why, this would be the ultimate, I guess, that
local government could go to is to simply recruit and hire new employees.
I wonder if someone could go into the subjects that would be open to negotiation if said it was outlined. What are some of them? What are they?
Oh, some of the specific things we would like to.
The bill has a public management rights section, which limits the negotiations to those items that affect directly the employee salaries, working conditions, but does not go to negotiating on items that can be negotiated under the existing law, like the number of men in a fire truck, or levels of service, or whether a service should be contracted out. These are management decisions, and they are exempted from the negotiation process. So it's limited to economic issues, working condition issues, and those that affect the employee directly.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
No other questions?
Yes,
I have just one other announcement that I wanted to make that doesn't have to do with this, and I'll impose on our friends here for just 1 second, but I know it's been of great interest to you and interest here in the Capitol, and there have been many questions, and there have also been rumors and stories based on rumors up until now. And I am very happy to tell you now that I have asked Senator Fred Marler to accept appointment to the Superior Court here in Sacramento, and he has agreed to do so. And I'm very happy, and I think he is too. And that's it. Thank all of you.
More on that, excuse me, but what about a special election for Senator Marler's seat?
Well, this Senator Marler also, the appointment that he will be accepting will not come up for a while yet because it will be to replace one of the Superior Court justices who is moving to the appellate court. So we don't know exactly as to the date. I'm hopeful that maybe a special election won't be required because his is a district that no longer exists due to reapportionment. And we might find ourselves having a special election for someone to hold office for 3 weeks, and I don't think any of us want to go through that.
Governor, why did you rule him out of the appeals court opening?
Well, it wasn't a case of ruling him out on that. A great many names were reviewed for that particular post. And I never go into details about why, except that, as you know, we have had a process. Four appointments. We've never violated the process, and it's been one that has taken the appointment of judges out of politics, I think, for the first time in California. And, this is the way it turned out.
Did you appoint Senator Colon on the appellate court judge, but not Senator Marler?
No, the situation was different at that time, and the people in that particular area who were being reviewed for that, he turned out to be the man for the job.
That report, you've been under pressure from the state and local bars to just confine those appellate appointments to judges of trial experience. Is that true?
I don't know that I've been under pressure. We have certainly been cooperating with, as a matter of fact, they've been cooperating with us at my request for 7.5 years now. We have sought out the counsel of the bar and the local bar in the areas where judges are to be appointed. We have taken their recommendations for this, and there's no change in that procedure.
So you're under any more pressure now to appoint a trial judge to an appellate spot than you have been before?
No, no. Incidentally, let me get back to the other subject here just once and say that all of us up here appreciate very much the fact that the Dean of the Senate is handling this legislation. It was a happy wedding, because we've known his views, and these people here knew of his views, and it was their hope that he would carry such legislation, mine also. So we're a happy family gathering, and you finish with your questions, we'll leave.
Thank you.